Meetings that are going to be conducted this afternoon. Again, when council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. I will announce each application. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain its application and present its reasons supporting the application. Council may question the applicant and its witnesses. After the applicant has presented its application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who are present and oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose or time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or its witnesses. If you intend to speak this afternoon, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address for the record before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there's more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that have been made by a prior speaker. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, we ask that you take the time now to switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearings this afternoon on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action and has not yet made a recommendation, council will do likewise. Thank you, Mr. President. The first item on this afternoon's agenda is conditional use number 1874, filed on behalf of Ed Heilman Drywall, Inc., and the title to that ordinance is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a storage facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.1621 acres, more or less. Mr. Lang?
Yes. Excuse me. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on December 9th, 2010. The council has before them a copy of the Planning and Zoning Commission's report showing the comments that were received during that public hearing. And before I start, before the benefit of council, I'll pass down copies of the exhibit book provided by the applicant prior to the commission's public hearing, and that was received on November 12th of 2010. During the December 9, 2010 public hearing, the DelDOT had provided comments. Ed Hillman was present with Frank Key of Solutions IPEM and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. However, the commission did at that time defer action for further consideration, and that motion carried 5-0. For the benefit of the record, we did receive two additional agency comments. First one being from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division in the form of a memorandum. Those comments reference that this site is located in the Roxana planning area, that the applicant intends to use an on-site septic system, that conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required, that the proposed storage facility is not in an area where Sussex County has a schedule to provide sewer at this time, and when Sussex County provides sewer service, it will require that the on-site system be abandoned and that connection may be made to the central sewer system. And at this time, a concept plan is not required. And that was provided by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. In addition to that, we received a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District dated November 29th in 2010 and received on December 29th, 2010 in reference to this application. And we were advised that there are two soil types on this property, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected by this application, and that it will not be necessary for the off-site drainage improvements, and it is not likely that on-site drainage improvements will be required. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Any questions? Okay.
Mr. Key.
Good afternoon. I'm Frank Key with Solutions IPEM, located here in Georgetown, representing the applicant. Excuse me. Basically, Mr. and Ms. Heilman acquired the property, and then they permitted a pole building, an enclosed pole building, and built it for personal use. It was there to store equipment, you know, of their own cars and things like that. At a point in time, their insurance company, let me back up a step, Mr. Heilman does drywall, and they have about five vans that they use, and the employees come to the building there and drop their cars off and take the vans and go to job sites. Prior to using the facility that way, certain employees took these vans home with them every day, but their insurance company told them that they couldn't do that anymore, as insurance costs go up and so forth. So they began to do this drop-off routine there at the building, and generally they park the vans inside the building, and then they have two small trailers and one large trailer that they use on job sites that they park there as well. The building has been improved with a Del Dot acceptable entrance, as evidenced by the material there, and they have a gravel parking lot that they used where the employees park the cars while they leave the site for the day. They also have a for convenience port-a-john there that they use, and a dumpster. And essentially, that's it. What happened was, when they started doing what they're doing there with the vans and storing some painting equipment and supplies in the building, they didn't realize they needed a conditional use, and here we are. They were notified by Mr. Lank's department on January the 19th. Then they filed a service letter evaluation to see if they needed any kind of traffic study. In February, in March, they got the support facilities report stipulating no need for the traffic impact study. On June 27th, they received a letter from Mr. Lang's department telling them that they'd need to proceed with the conditional use, and the application was made immediately. On September the 21st, they got the letter from Del Dot stipulating that the way they put it, Del Dot has no contention with them using the entrance the way it is, as long as it's a certain width and in good repair, and it's both of those things. Then we took the same application to planning and zoning on December the 9th, and the vote is scheduled currently anyway for January the 13th. So basically, they want to use the facility for the purpose that they have been using it for just as it is today. You can see on the conditional use plat that was submitted that we've indicated the two job trailer parking spaces on one side of the building where they currently park, on the right-hand side, facing the building from the street, and one larger trailer that often leaves the site when business is good. This is like a transport truck trailer. He takes that to sites and parks it there and leaves it there for the duration of the job, which it hasn't done in recent history. The dumpster's on the front left, and currently the port-a-john is on the front right, although I believe there is a possibility of moving it to the back corner so that it's better screened. And then you can see the existing gravel parking, which is sufficient for eight parking spaces, which is, as I understand it, a storage building doesn't have any real requirement for parking, but there are eight spaces there, and that's sufficient for the number of employees. I know I was contacted by Mr. Heilman. I've known him for years. It goes all the way back to Bear Trap and Bayside and doing drywall in the houses there, and he called me to help simply because he wasn't sure what to do with this issue, so here we are. And that's kind of it in a nutshell. They want to keep using the building just as they have been, but with the proper conditional use permit. And if you have any questions, me or Mr. Heilman can answer them.
Is there any questions from council for Mr. Key or Mr. Heilman?
Is this attached to a single-family home, or on this site it's just a parcel by itself with a
storage? It's a parcel by itself. It has one farm that's on the left and to the rear of it. It's a very large farm. One neighbor to the right-hand side that has a trucking business, and a neighbor sort of catty-cornered across Route 17.
The only parcel he owns is this one parcel.
That's correct. And this is the only building on it.
Is that what's in violation, Lawrence, a storage building with by?
The storage building would be permitted if it was used for private storage, but it's being used as it relates to the drywall business and had to go through the conditional use process. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
It says it's a private building, in private storage, but yet it's still private.
He's using it for a business.
Except they're using it to go in and out of that.
He's using it for a business.
Okay. Well, wouldn't storing drywall be a business?
Right. That's what he's using it for. Mm-hmm. That's what's in violation.
There's nothing wrong with that, is it?
What's in violation?
There's nothing wrong with storing it. That was the idea of all the stuff in and out, was it? The way I read it, I don't know.
Well, I believe it has to do with the fact that there's vehicles that are coming and going. The vans are parked.
That's what there. I understand.
Yeah, so that makes it more of a business that requires a conditional use. So yeah, that's why.
That's the way I read it, anyway. It actually, that was probably changed it up. Hadn't been for the vehicles, they probably wouldn't have noticed and said nothing. Is that the understanding?
I believe so. He didn't store the vehicles there initially. He only had personal
things
there.
That's what I'm saying. But if it hadn't been for the vehicles, you probably wouldn't be in this situation you are today.
Right.
But actually, you practically had that much traffic before, in a sense. But somehow, I understand.
Thank you, Mr. Key. We'll see if there's anyone
thank you.
Who would like to speak in favor. Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to speak in favor of this application? There being none, is there anyone in the office who would like to speak in opposition to the application? And it appears that there's none. With that being said, unless there's anything from council, we'll close the record on this public hearing.
Make a motion we defer.
We have a motion to defer.
Second.
And a second. Any question on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is conditional use number 1875, filed on behalf of Frederick J. Taylor, Jr. And this is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an automotive sales lot to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek Hundred, Sussex County, containing 2.73 acres, more or less. Mr. Lang?
Yes. Again, the public hearing was held on this application on December 9th of 2010. For the benefit of council, I passed down a copy of the survey and a little explanation attached, provided by Mr. Taylor. During the public hearing, the commission received the same survey with the attachments, and it makes reference to number of vehicles to be displayed, hours of the business hours, the location of the display, and the use of the circular driveway. We received comments from the Department of Transportation in the form of a memorandum and the form of a support facilities report. Mr. Taylor was present and gave testimony. Mr. Taylor submitted a small petition and list of businesses in the area. The petition was in support. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1876 for Frederick J. Taylor for an automotive sales lot for the following reasons. One, there are several businesses within 1/2 mile of this property. This proposed use will be consistent with the nearby uses. Two, the applicant has indicated that he intends to continue to reside on the property. Three, several parties signed a petition in favor of the application. Four, the property is located on Route 24, and with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, the application will not adversely affect neighboring properties or the community. And five, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, no more than 6 vehicles shall be displayed for sale on the property at any one time. B, no junked or inoperable vehicles shall be stored on the property. C, the vehicles for sale shall be located only in those areas designated as areas for the display of vehicles for sale on the site plan. D, the hours of operation shall be limited at 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. E, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side may be or shall be permitted. F, any security lighting shall be screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. G, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT entrance requirements. And H, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, second, and carried with 3 votes to forward this application to council with the recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 3-2 with Mr. Wheatley and Mr. Johnson opposing the motion. In addition to that, we have received again 2 agency comments. First one being from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. These comments were received on December 15th, 2010. This site is located in the Laurel Growth and Annexation Area. An individual on-site septic system is proposed. The project is not capable of being annexed into a county-operated sanitary sewer district. The proposed use is not in an area where the county expects to provide sewer service, and the concept plan is not required. And these comments were signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. Second comment was a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District received on December 29th of 2010. Makes reference that there is one soil type on this site that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, that it is not necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, and it is not likely that on-site drainage improvements will be required. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Lang? Mr. Taylor, come forward. You've heard what Mr. Lang stated. Certainly now's your opportunity to add to that if there's anything you'd like to add for the council's benefit.
Frederick Taylor, Laurel, just trying to get a conditional use permit for the 1 to 6 cars, and hopefully it would help the community and whatnot. I don't know. He's added pretty much all of it, so I don't know what else to say unless you got questions.
If you maybe could just describe briefly what sort of surrounds your property. The types of properties.
To describe what's around me?
Yeah, and uses.
It's a nice neighborhood. It really is. And that's why I'm not looking for 30 or 40 cars. I don't want to destroy the surrounding atmosphere, per se. But it is something, the conditional use, I really do need so that I can move to a dealer's license. And
is there any questions from council for Mr. Taylor?
I don't have a question for Mr. Taylor, but I'm just curious. Mr. Knight, Mr. Wheatley and Mr. Johnson opposed it. Did they say why?
No, they did not. They opposed the motion, but did not state any reasons as why they did oppose.
Okay.
I'm curious about that myself.
So did I, actually.
3-2. Any other questions from council for Mr. Taylor? Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Is there anyone in favor of conditional use number 1875 for Frederick J. Taylor? Is there, it appears that there is no one here in favor. Is there anyone in opposition to conditional use number 1875 for Frederick J. Taylor? Again, it appears there's no one here in opposition. Unless council has any questions, the record's closed at this point, or the hearing's closed.
Any questions from council? We'll go ahead and close the hearing. If you could read the title.
I certainly will. Again, this is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an automotive sales lot to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 2.73 acres, more or less.
It's a pleasure, Council.
I'll make the motion.
We have a motion to approve and a second. Any questions on the motion? If not, we'll take the vote, and please state your reasons either for or against.
That's the second. Who made the second?
Mr. Wilson.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Deaver.
I vote yes, taking advice from the Planning and Zoning Commission, and for the same reasons that they gave and with the 8 conditions.
Cole.
I vote yes for the same reasons.
Schultz.
I vote yes. It seems like an appropriate application, which doesn't meet any public opposition.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes, with Planning and Zoning.
Based on recommendation of Planning and Zoning, and it does not seem to be any opposition from the public, I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Have a good day. Next.
The next item on the agenda is conditional use number 1876, filed on behalf of Douglas R. Morgan. The title of that ordinance is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for automotive repair, welding, and fabrication to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 3.52 acres, more or less. Mr. Light?
Mr. Chairman, I ask, is Mr. Morgan present? Okay, I didn't recognize you, sorry.
I thought that was a guy sitting down the middle. I didn't recognize you.
Mr. Morgan, if you'll just hold off and take a seat for 1 second, Mr. Lank's going to give his report to the council.
Didn't recognize him that time. This application, again, was reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on December 9th of 2010. We did receive comments from DelDOT. Mr. Burton abstained from participating in this public hearing. Mr. Morgan was present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of the application. Thomas Jester and Alex Lethem were present in opposition and expressed concern that the business could impact an existing repair business on an adjacent parcel, that the adjacent business has been operational for 13 years, that Mr. Jester was told that he had to find a commercial parcel to develop a repair shop, that if the county keeps approving conditional uses in the area, the whole road will be repair shops, and that one repair shop in the area is enough. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1876 for Douglas R. Morgan for automotive repair, welding, and fabrication based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or the community. Two, the site is adjacent to land that is owned B1 neighborhood business and is near an intersection of U.S. Route 113 and Road 207, also known as Johnson Road. Three, the use provides a needed use that is essential and desirable for agricultural uses within Sussex County and for the residents of the county. Four, this application is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, any security lights shall be installed or maintained on buildings and they shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. B, no repair or fabrication work shall be performed outside. C, the use shall be limited to metal fabrication, welding, and related activities. D, the hours of operation shall be limited to 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. E, there may be one lighted sign on the property advertised in the business. The sign shall not exceed 32 square feet in size on either side. F, the location of dumpsters shall be shown on the final site plan and shall be screened from view of neighboring properties and roadways. And G, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, second, and carried with 4 votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. That motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Burton not participating in the vote. And again, in addition, we received 2 additional comments on December 15th of 2010. See the comments of the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division in the form of a memorandum and are advised that this site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area, that an individual on-site septic system is proposed, that the proposed use is not in an area where Sussex County expects to provide sewer service, and therefore a concept plan is not required. Those comments were signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. In addition to that, we received on December 29th of 2010 a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District and are advised that there are three soil types on this site, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sedimentation control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, and that it may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, and that it is not likely that there will be a necessity for any on-site drainage improvements. And that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
And they do live on the premises?
I believe so. Get that answer for you.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Okay. Any questions from council for Mr. Lang? I was hearing that there's none. Mr. Morgan, if you would address council, you've heard what Mr. Lang stated. Certainly, you have an opportunity to create a record and add anything you'd like to what he's already presented.
Okay, Douglas Morgan, Lincoln, Delaware. The hours of operation, I would prefer to be 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. as opposed to 6 to 6, and then 8 to 5 on Saturdays.
That's a busy road there, isn't it?
Johnson Road.
Yeah.
Very busy.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Morgan, if you could just elaborate a little bit on the type of shop that you run and also some of the surrounding uses of your property.
Okay. There was a pre-existing building there where my father and I just did mechanical work on the side and maintained local farmers' farm equipment. And we tore it down and put this building up and just doing basically the same thing. We just want to be legal about it, you know, performing light duty automotive repair and agricultural mechanic work, welding and fabrication.
What kind of uses are the other properties put around there?
To the west, Jamie Maston owns it. It was supposed to be the post office and all kinds of commercial stuff there, but then the economy fell apart and it's kind of sitting vacant. Across the street was the old car lot, Webb's car lot, which is closed down now. The property to the east of it is my personal residence, and then to the south of it is Lincoln Village Housing Development, I guess you could call it.
Are there any questions from council for Mr. Morgan?
I have a question. On your application, your primary intent is automotive repair.
That's correct.
When the commission made a recommendation, and I don't think it was intentional that they read it, but that we left off automotive repairs in the application as far as the use being limited. And it says the use shall be limited to metal fabrication, welding, and related activities. It wasn't discussed, it's just the way it was written. And I think, and Vince, you can correct me if, I think it was, there was never a discussion about taking out automotive repair.
No, I don't believe that there was ever any intention to take that out. In fact, when Mr. Smith read the motion in the introduction, he referenced automotive repair there. So I think that was probably an omission on his part,
right,
making that motion.
That's what I thought, too.
Right.
But the record, the way he read it is what we reported in the record.
Yeah.
And you stated that your hours would be 8 to 8.
Yes, sir.
Medium to 8 p.m. and 8 to 5 on Saturdays.
Correct.
No Sunday activities.
No, sir.
No, you stated that earlier to correct it.
Yeah. That's all I have.
Any other questions for Mr. Morgan?
You plan to live in the home?
Yes.
Adjacent to the property, to
yes.
The business?
Yes.
Now, you're the one who requested 8 hours. I mean, from 8 to 5, is that your request?
It was 8 to 8. Yeah, that was my
or 8
request.
To 8, I should say.
Yes.
Okay. I just wonder, I didn't know if we somewhere down playing.
No, originally it was supposed to be 8 to 8, but it was a typo, I guess, and it said 6 to 6. So I would like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday.
You would like to add 8 to 8?
Yes.
And then 8 to 5 on Saturday.
5 on Saturday as well.
Sunday.
Well, since we don't have no time, please say it, I guess it'd be all right. Isn't it?
We got away from number of employees. So there hasn't been any recommendations about that, so I guess hours is next. Mr. Morgan, it doesn't appear there's any other questions from council. If you'll take a seat, I'll see if there's anyone here who wants to speak in favor of or in opposition. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1876 regarding Douglas R. Morgan?
Is there anybody else? Oh,
David L. Wilson, 17968 Halfringer Road, Lincoln, Delaware. And I would like to be in support of it today, as it is in keeping with what's happening in the area of 207 and 113, commercial businesses on both sides of it. I feel that Mr. Morgan has most investment as he lives next door to his own business. And being a local business person, I feel that the hours of operation are going to be something that he's going to be considerate of, because he lives in the neighborhood. He's not being some other part of the county. And I am very much in support of it. I know competition's competition, but in days of looking out for small businesses, I feel that this is something that we need to consider here in Sussex County, and I ask the council to give it favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for Mr. Wilson before he leaves then?
I was afraid George would have some, that's why.
I do. I want to know, do you work anymore? Because you've been around Georgetown all day. You spend this much time in Dover.
I've seen how George did it in Sussex County, so I decided to do the same.
I've heard enough. Thank you, Dave Wilson.
George, what he's trying to do is learn something down here. So
he might learn something. You're right, Sam.
Carry it back to Dover.
Hey, you're right.
I'm sorry I asked. This gentleman came forward. Sir, do you have something you'd have to like or would I like to add with regard to?
My name is Jack Fitzgerald. I live at 8283 DuPont, North DuPont Boulevard, which is just growing north of his place. I grew up in Lincoln. I had the salvage yard across the corner from him. I know that when I was a boy, his grandfather was doing repair work in that old barn. And it has had fallen in such bad disrepair that they've replaced it, and I think that he should be able to use it any way that he can. We all need to do what we can these days to make a living.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1876? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1876 filed on behalf of Douglas R. Morgan? Let the record show that no one appeared in opposition. Unless council has any questions, we will close the public hearing.
Questions, council?
No.
We will close the public hearing, and if you would please read the title.
I will do that.
Are we going to amend the conditions, sir?
Yeah, we'll amend if that's council's desire.
Yeah. We can amend that under motion or whatever. Yeah.
Again, it's conditional use 1876 filed on behalf of Douglas R. Morgan, which is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for automotive repair, welding, and fabrication to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 3.52 acres, more or less.
Pleasure, council.
I would just say it, that area has changed so much. I mean, there is a number of activities in here. I just would strike the hours of operation so that the
thank you, George.
Council doesn't have to send people out there. If it's approved, I think that it should just be struck.
We're on the same page.
It's a scary thought in the day.
Well, should we, I guess, then? You want to make a motion then, Mr. Cole, to
what a repair, George.
Mm-hmm.
Need to
in the title?
In the condition number C. Should include automotive
okay,
repairs.
Okay, that's, and I would like to also amend C to add, after related activities, auto repair.
Okay.
And delete it.
Anything else?
I second that.
Those two items, please, C and D.
Okay.
Eliminate D and modify C.
And that is your that is your motion.
That is my motion.
We have a motion and a second to add the automotive repair to C and to strike D. Any question on a motion? We'll call for the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Reasons?
Is this just a motion
let's
to amend?
Amend it.
Yeah, this is just
to
amend those conditions. Then we do a motion to approve the ordinance with those conditions. So.
I'm just waiting on George.
Yes, did you call my name?
Yeah, I did.
I'm sorry, I didn't. I didn't usually respond.
Yes.
To Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Now then.
Welcome back, George.
We're all right. I got whatever it is you got, Sam, I got it.
Now we need a motion to, if you want to approve the...
I'll make a motion we adopt the ordinance with the amended conditions.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I vote yes, and in conjunction with the Planning and Zoning Commission's reasons, I give the same reasons, and with the amended conditions.
Okay, Mr. Cole?
I'll vote for the yes for the same reason.
Mr. Phillips?
I'll vote yes because Dave Wilson said so, and because Planning and Zoning thought it was a good idea.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes because Vance said I should.
I have to give a different reason than that. No disrespect to Vance.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I vote yes because of Planning and Zoning recommendation.
Based on Planning and Zoning recommendation.
Based on Planning and Zoning recommendation.
And it certainly does seem to fit in the area and serve the area. And with the higher recommendation of Representative Wilson, I vote yes, motion carried.
He must not know you.
Thank you, Council. The next item on the agenda is conditional use number 1879.
Oh, now the fun begins.
Filed on behalf of the Laurel Fire Department Incorporated. And this is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a fire department substation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 4.9652 acres, more or less. Mr. Lang.
Yes. Again, this application was reviewed through the public hearing process before the Planning and Zoning Commission on December 9th of 2010. The council had before them a copy of an exhibit booklet, which was provided to the Planning and Zoning Commission. The applicant also provided findings of fact and conditions of approval for consideration. On September 22nd of 2010, we received DLDOT comments. They are a part of the record. Mark Sheridan, past chief of the Laurel Fire Department, and Dennis Schrader, attorney, Wilson, Howbrook, and Byard Professional Association, and Mark Dustbigger of Delaware Architects LLC gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1879 for the Laurel Fire Department Incorporated based on the record of the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the conditional use for a fire station is of a public nature and it will promote the health, safety, and welfare of the residents of Sussex County. It is in an area that will be better served by an additional fire station. Two, it is located in a rural area where it will have a minimal impact on neighboring and adjacent properties. Three, the fire department has stated that the substation is necessary to maintain and improve its fire protection and emergency service to current and future residents of this area of Sussex County. And four, this conditional use is subject to the following conditions. A, any security lighting shall be screened away from neighboring properties and county routes. B, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. Again, in addition, we received two agency comments. First one being from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. And we are advised that this site is located in the Western Sussex Planning Area Number 4, that an individual on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the Western Sussex Planning Study will be required, that the proposed use is not in an area where Sussex County currently has a schedule to provide sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. Secondly, from the Sussex Conservation District and received on December 29th of 2010, we are advised that this soil type, or this soils on this site, there are only two, and that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, that it is not necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, and it is not likely that any on-site drainage improvements will be required. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Lang? Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson, and congratulations, President Vinson, and members. Welcome back for another new year here at the County Council. I have the privilege of representing this afternoon the Laurel Fire Department in conditional use number 1879. I have Bill Hearn with me from the fire company, and I have Martin Duesbieber, who represents the interests of Delaware Architects, and I'd also point out that Cave Associates is involved in this project for engineering purposes. As luck would have it, this particular project is located on Fire Tower Road, which is appropriately named for a fire substation. The site contains 4.569 acres, more or less, and is located in an AR1 agricultural residential single-family district. The site is currently vacant, and as I pointed out to you, this building is proposed to be used as a fire substation by the Laurel Fire Department. The comprehensive plan update for Sussex County would put this project in a low-density area, and under the state's planning's strategies for spending map, it would be in level 4, notwithstanding the fact that it's in level 4. The Office of State Planning Coordination supports emergency services in all areas of the county, so the level 4 designation does not necessarily have meaning as it applies to this particular project. We have submitted to you a project booklet which contains references to support from various persons within the Laurel community, and it also provides you with some diagrams and visuals as to what this particular project will look like once completed, if approved by you. The site is significantly large and is available and has the capacity for on-site septic. On-site well will not involve any new transportation requirements in the sense that there will be any required improvements to the adjacent road. And the Department of Transportation has issued a statement that it does not require a traffic impact study for this project at this site because it will remain level of service A. And lastly, I would point out to you this project, before it was brought to you, was reviewed by the State Fire Prevention Commission and was approved by it before its application was made to the council. So with these thoughts in mind, I'd like to introduce Mr. Duesbieber to you, who is with Delaware Architects. He will give you an overview of the proposed structure, the site plan, and how this project will benefit the community on the west, or excuse me, the eastern side of U.S. 13 near Laurel. Martin.
Mr. Trader. Martin Duesbieber with Delaware Architects. We're in Milford, Delaware. We're the project architect for this project and the project manager.
Concept plan or elevation of the proposed building. It's a two-bay, two-door fire station. It is a substation only. It's not intended to be used for public gatherings or fundraising events or anything like that. Some of the inclusions. Again, it's a two-door, two-bay substation. They have a small bunk room area up here. In case of a storm emergency or whatever, and they're responding to situations within the county, they need to stay at the fire station, but on a regular basis, no one will be there. Two bathrooms, male and female bathroom. They have a small day room, radio room, and an office, mechanical room, a storage room in the back. The fire station is supported by a 100% generator. In case of power outages in the county, the station can function on its own for a 24-hour period. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I would like to invite Mr. Hearn to the podium, if you will.
This will be good.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about coal, right?
Well, the other ones.
Mr. Hearn, could you identify yourself for the benefit of the
Bill Hearn, President of Laurel Fire Department.
And Mr. Hearn, would you be kind enough to give us a brief history as to how the fire company got to be here today with this particular conditional use?
Back in 2005, we had a comprehensive plan, worked with the town of Laurel, and we found out that the growth was kind of going the other side of the the highway, and then in the, right after that is when the library was being remodeled, and it closed 4th Street and Delaware Avenue, which was our main access out to Sycamore. So we had a farmer out there who was past, he's one of our past presidents. He come and offered us a pole building to house a truck out there. In the meantime, we had about 15 to 20 people living in that neighborhood. We went before the fire commission. They okayed it. The truck is still there. We still run out of that substation, as we call it. They've approved it ever since 2006, I think it was. 2008, we bought the 5 acres of land right around the corner. And we're hoping that with your approval that we can go through with this.
And this will enhance the Laurel Fire Company's ability to provide response and emergency services to the people on the east side of US 13?
Yes, it saves our people from crossing over 13 coming into the main station. Where they're living in the area, they could, a lot of times they're out before the main station's out. It lives so close by.
If this project is approved by the county council, can you give us some estimate as to when you would expect to be able to begin construction and complete the occupancy and use of the property?
We're hoping to be in by the end of the year, but it'd be what these two fellows. We're hoping.
Yeah, you got trouble looking lying on him.
Well, if he needs to, we.
Looks like he swallowed a mouse.
No, that is our hope. I like that. It's just according to weather and what, how our funding goes through, so forth and so on. So,
thank you, Mr. Hearn.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hearn. I have all these gentlemen available for questions, but if you'll let me summarize, we'll see where we're going with this thing. As I pointed out to you, this is a fire substation. It will be, as shown on this particular map over here, where the yellow arrow is on the east side of US 13. It enhances the response time for the Laurel Fire Company and provides a better opportunity for the fire company to support the agricultural and residential needs of the eastern side of its fire response district. It's not intended to be a place where there'll be weddings or dances or anything else. It's strictly an emergency services building. DLDOT has no objection. The state has no objection. And I have...
You got nervous.
I know. We're distracted. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
What did you say?
And I would point out to you that this fire company and this substation meet the purposes of an AR1 agricultural residential district.
Thank you very much.
The comprehensive plan update and the state strategies for spending map. Thank you. And we're all available for questions if you have any.
Any questions from council for the applicant? There appearing none, to be none. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of conditional use number 1879? Filed on behalf of the Laurel Fire Department Incorporated. Let the record show that no one else appeared on in favor of that application. Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1879 filed on behalf of the Laurel Fire Department, Inc.? Again, let the record show no one spoke or appeared in opposition. That being said, we'll close the public hearing unless council has any questions.
Any questions of council?
Should this be deferred?
We'll close the public. I was saying that should we defer it? You think 90 days or 120 days? What do you?
Oh, about a month, 2 months or 3 months, four months, maybe five, 6 months.
Pretty much.
Jones got a good idea.
Let's recommend deferral.
Yeah. You know she's gonna say, "Look at Bob Stickler." If you would read the title, please.
I will certainly do that. Again, it's conditional use number 1879 filed on behalf of Laurel Fire Department Incorporated. The title being an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a fire department substation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 4.9652 acres, more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Have a motion and second to adopt the ordinance. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I vote yes. It's my pleasure to vote yes for this. This is a necessary public service and wonderful news. And with the for the reasons given by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Cole.
I'll vote yes. It fits in with our land use plan, and there's a need for it in the area.
Mr. Phillips?
I'll vote yes. It's a grown area. It'll cut down on response times. I agree with planning and zoning.
Wilson?
I vote yes. For all the other reasons they gave.
Based on recommendation of planning and zoning, and it certainly is going to benefit the people that live in that area for fast response times, and these guys do a great job out there now as it is. So I vote yes. Motion carried.
Good thing you brought Bob along, I can tell you that.
This poor man's going to think twice about hiring like this attorney and this consultant, this Stickles guy again next time he has an application.
He did a wonderful job.
Just don't want to go through.
Let's give him a little practice.
Did you have to pay Stickles money?
Howard, if you wanted to defer this for another meeting, we'd be glad.
I have a suspicion we're going to see them in the next hearing as well. The next item on the agenda is conditional use number 1880, filed on behalf of the Ellendale Volunteer Fire Company, Inc., and the title of the ordinance is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land.
Same book.
In an AR1 agricultural residential district. For a fire department substation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 16.62 acres, more or less. Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application for the Ellendale Volunteer Fire Company, Incorporated, on December 9th of 2010. The applicants provided an exhibit booklet. Council has copies. That exhibit booklet was provided on November 24th of 2010. The applicants provided some proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval for consideration. On September 22nd, 2010, we received comments from DLDOT in the form of a support facility report or a memorandum referencing that the present level of service of Road 213 is level of service A. Dave Jones of the Ellendale Volunteer Fire Company Incorporated was present with Dennis Schrader, attorney with Wilson Albrook and Byard Professional Association, and Mark Deusbieber of Delaware Architects LLC, who gave testimony. Constance Holland, Director of State Planning, was also present in the audience and gave testimony that the state is well aware of the need for fire and emergency protection in the area, that the site is located in investment level 4, which makes reference to safety, health, and welfare issues, that the state supports use, and that the Office of State Planning supports use. There were no parties present in support, no parties present in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1880 for Ellendale Volunteer Fire Company Incorporated, based on the record and for the following reasons. One, the conditional use is for a fire station, is of a public nature, and it will promote health, safety, and welfare of the residents of Sussex County. Two, it is located on a large tract of land where it will have a minimal impact on neighboring and adjacent properties. Three, the fire company has stated that the substation in this location is necessary to maintain and improve its fire protection and emergency service to current and future residents of this area of Sussex County. That this location in Lincoln is also an area that has experienced growth, that has also had an increased demand for 911, EMS, and fire services. Four, this conditional use is subject to the following conditions. A, any security lighting shall be screened away from neighboring properties and county roads. B, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. With a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, that motion carried 5-0. Again, for the record, I received two additional comments, first one being from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. It was received on December 15th of 2010. This site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area. It is intended that a on-site septic system be used, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study be required, that the proposed project is not in an area where the county currently plans to provide sewer service, therefore a concept plan is not required. That was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. And another memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District received on December 29th of 2010, advising us that there were four soil types on this application that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, that it is not likely that any off-site drainage improvements will be required, and it is necessary that on-site drainage improvements be required. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Questions from council to Mr. Lang? There appearing to be none. Mr. Schrader.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Robertson. For the benefit of the record, I'm Dennis Schrader. I represent the L&D Fire Company and conditional use application number 1880. In this instance, I have with me Mr. Deuce Bieber from Delaware Architects, and I have Mr. Jones, who's the president of the fire company, who will speak to the council in a few minutes. This particular application, similar to the last application, is for a fire substation to be located near Lincoln. It is in Cedar Creek Hunter, just 400 feet off Laughlin Road on North Old State Road. The site itself contains 16.62 acres and is located in an AR1 agricultural residential single-family district and is currently a vacant site being used for agricultural purposes. We're asking for this conditional use for the fire substation so that the Ellendale Fire Company can increase its ability to respond and serve emergencies that are at the northern end of its fire service district. The proposed facility, as Mr. Deuce Bieber will describe it to you a little later on, will not include any banquet facilities nor any siren. And I might point out, as you look at this particular application and ask yourself, why is it or how is it different from the Laurel application, Mr. Deuce Bieber has added one additional door to the front of the building, which makes it so that people like me can distinguish it from the other application.
Oh, good.
There we go. That's the difference, Ms. Deaver. This also is located in a low-density area and in a Level 4 strategies area within the state strategies for spending map. And again, as I pointed out to you earlier in the other application, the state encourages emergency facilities in these areas, notwithstanding the Level 4. We have supplied you with exhibit book that provides you with an understanding of those persons who are interested in supporting this application, including the EMS and paramedics from the county who are supporting the particular application. The site is sufficiently large to have on-site septic and well. There are no new roads or streets that will be created by this, and the application will, generally speaking, benefit all of the inhabitants and residents of this area. With that all in mind, I'd invite Mr. Deuce Bieber to step forward and explain to you why this has three doors instead of two.
Mr. Schrader, again, Martin Deuce Bieber with Delaware Architects. We're the project architect for this project also.
As Mr. Schrader stated, we have a substation. It has three doors, but this is a drive-through design, meaning that the fire trucks can pull around and drive all the way through the engine bays instead of having to back in off any road. The building includes a mechanical space in the rear, a chief engineer space with storage. The chief engineer is the person who maintains the trucks, so they need a little bit more storage space. They have a gear wash room that's a little different than Laurel, where that's where they wash their fire suits. A storage room that also can act as a bunk room in case of a snow or weather-related emergency. Two bathrooms, day room, radio room, office storage. So very similar to Laurel, just a little bit larger in size. Any questions you might have?
There being no questions, I'll invite Mr. Jones to the podium.
Good afternoon, Jay Jones, President of Ellendale Volunteer Fire Department.
And if you could, Mr. Jones, could you just give a brief description of the history of how the Ellendale Fire Company came to apply for this conditional use, how it'll benefit the public, and what your proposed schedule of construction and completion are?
Okay. The reason we're wishing to put a substation in the Lincoln area is because, of course, the tremendous growth over the last few years. If you take our fire district, the top third of our fire district has 70% of our population. So, of course, that's where the people are, and that's where the calls are going. That's how we came about looking for property in Lincoln and wanting to put a substation there to decrease the response times to the area with the overflow emergencies and, of course, traffic and everything else.
And if you are to have this application approved today, what do you anticipate your construction schedule to be and when you'll be able to occupy this property?
Hoping to start right away with the funding being there and hopefully being by the end of the year in operating.
And you will have sufficient manpower to do so?
Yes. Currently right now we have sufficient manpower in that area, and also just with the talk and the growth of the Lincoln community and great support of the Greater Lincoln Civic Association, we've had many members also join up because of this, new members in the area.
I recall at the Planning Commission you stated that there would be no siren at this particular site. Is that correct?
No. Yes, that is correct.
And will there be any banquet or party facilities at this site?
No, unplanned.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have, Mr. Jones. Gentlemen, Ms. Deaver, this project is located in an area that where it would be appropriate to have a fire substation. It's been reviewed and approved by the Fire Prevention Commission. As pointed out by Mr. Jones, there's no siren, there's no banquet facilities, strictly intended for the purpose of having an emergency response for a growing population near Lincoln and adjacent to the Milford area. This is all consistent with a comprehensive plan update. It's consistent also with the purposes of your AR1 Agricultural Residential District, the land use plan, the state strategies for spending map, and if it was helpful to you, I have proposed and prepared a motion to approve this application with conditions. I also understand that there is at least one person left in the room that may have one additional comment about this, so I will stand down.
Are there any questions from council for Mr. Schrader? Hearing that there are none, I'll ask, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak in favor of conditional use number 1880 filed on behalf of the Ellendale Volunteer Fire Company, Incorporated?
David L. Walson, 176968 Halflinger Road in Lincoln, and I stand in favor of it as a growing community for Lincoln, and this is the northern part of the Ellendale Fire District, and anything north of 207 is the Milford Fire District. South of 207 is the Ellendale District. And I think it's an excellent opportunity to move fire service to this area. As I've already stated, it's a growing community and an excellent site, I feel, to acquire 16 acres. And it's not on a main highway where it's easy access and will not impact traffic on 113. And it easily readily to serve the community. And I feel that it's a great opportunity for the Forest Service to expand and protect the residents of Lincoln and surrounding area. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in favor of conditional use number 1880? Appears that there's none. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in opposition of conditional use number 1880 for the Ellendale Volunteer Fire Company, Incorporated?
I think Mr. Stickles wants to speak in opposition. I'm sorry.
I think he wants him to buy another door.
Let the record show that there are no parties present in opposition to conditional use number 1880. And with that being said, that closes the public hearing.
We'll close the public hearing then, and if you'd read the title, please.
We don't want to defer on this one also? I guess not.
No, because it apparently makes him more money. I don't know how that, whatever.
Again, this is conditional use number 1880 filed on behalf of the Ellendale Volunteer Fire Company, Incorporated. And the ordinance title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a fire department substation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 16.62 acres, more or less.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance. Second. And the conditions.
We have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the roll and the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
I vote yes for the reasons given by Planning and Zoning Commission and with the conditions.
Cole?
Yes, I'll vote the same way and for the same reasons.
Phillips?
I vote yes. It's a growing area. I'll produce response with the conditions for the reasons given by planning and zoning.
Wilson.
I vote yes for the same reason.
P&Z gave.
Based on recommendation of planning and zoning, and it certainly will benefit the area, quick response times, and certainly after being recommended by the most honorable Mr. Dave Wilson, I vote yes. Motion carried.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor, see if I'm saying aye.
They're fast on that one, Dave. Did you hear how fast?
All in favor?
Aye.
Well, you're such a good mover.